are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
4 seconds left. He's got the ball. He should have it. Isaiah hangs on the ball, flips it up to the Raptors. Detroit is the city of champions again.
Detroit basketball.
What is happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Monday, August the 17th, and lottery week is here. This is your boy, Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, a sports writer here in Detroit City covering sports gambling for PlayMichigan.com, a Pistons fan and follower my whole life, just like you guys, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thank you for staying with us during the quarantine. We have made it to a week of actual consequences for the Detroit Pistons organization. And let me tell you, it feels so good. You know it's Mock Draft Monday. It is here. So we've got the 3.0 Elite Eight Mock Draft. And guess what? Your Detroit Pistons got number 2 in the fake draft lottery. And that's where I will be picking. Got my guys Doug and Walker from Locked On Hornets and Ben from Locked On T-Wolves as well. That's going to be the whole show. We taped this last week. And some Pistons fans might be mad with me with what I did with number 2. I switched it up a little bit from the last 1.0 and 2.0 mock drafts. Went a little different there, but that's going to be the show today. So let's get right to it with Doug, myself, Walker, and Ben. That is the Delete 8 Mock Draft 3.0.
Welcome to a crossover episode on the Locked On Podcast Network. The luckiest of host and August come together to discuss the third edition of the Delete 8 Locked On Mock Draft. And I say luckiest because if you appear on this podcast, this individual pod, then that means you had a top 3 pick in this selection process that Doug Branson comes up with. And I'm not entirely sure what goes into the selection process and how Doug makes the order, but he's going to be joining us today alongside the other host that we have alongside myself, Walker Mail of the Locked On Hornets podcast. We also have Matt Shook of Locked On Pistons, who had the second overall pick in this Delete 8 mock draft. We have Ben Beacon from Locked On Wolves joining us, who had the third overall selection in this mock draft. Guys, how are you doing today?
Good. Just happy to be here with the second pick. This is nice for the Pistons.
I bet it is. Ben, how are you feeling with the third?
Doing pretty good. I feel good about number 3 in this how this broke out.
So I don't know. Well, Doug can speak to this too. Being the number 1 overall selection, it's weird for the Hornets because we are often the worst at having any kind of good luck on the NBA lottery draft night, NBA lottery night. And Doug, how surprised were you? First of all, how did you even come up with this process in order to rig it for the Hornets to get the number 1 overall pick?
Listen, if I explained it to you, we'd be here all day. It's a lot of complicated mathematics. I stay up all night calculating the many ways. But I will say, yes, you are right that the Hornets having the number 1 overall pick is the most fantasy of these Delete 8 mock drafts that we could get, because the Hornets just simply don't move up in the lottery. So this was amazing.
Let me push back on this as a Pistons guy, though, because I think every fan base says this, I think, right? That they're the unlucky ones. Woe is us. And maybe the Pistons are that, because, hey, the Pistons have never moved up in the lottery in franchise history. I mean, you don't get any worse luck than that, right? I mean, the Darko pick is the one outlier, but that was technically Memphis moving up in the lottery, and the pick is conveyed to Detroit. So never moving up any single spot in the lottery in franchise history is pretty good.
And I'm going to chime in from the Timberwolves perspective. Same thing for the Timberwolves. The 1 year they got Karl-Anthony Towns was they had the best odds to get the number 1 pick back under the old system. So that was the only year that they had the number 1 pick. Every other year, they've had the worst record several other times. They've actually never moved up. It's always been the same, or they've moved down.
Okay, so this is just the misfit mock draft then.
I guess so, yeah.
This is what this is. All of us complain all the time. This is at complete the highest level of fantasy for all of us. This is really all of our dreams come true, basically, for the Hornets.
You're
getting
welcome.
The number 1 pick. Yes, thank you so much, Doug, with all that work that you did, making sure that all of our franchises, the misfits of the NBA, actually are able to get the top 3 in this mock draft. Real quickly, what I want to do is I want to set it up to where we each talk about our team needs, some of the players that we're looking at, You know, maybe just the overall process of what we thought our teams did this year, maybe exceeded expectations, did not live up to expectations. And then in the second and third segments, we'll take care of two of the teams in the second segment. And then in the third segment, we'll finally take care of the third overall pick with Ben Beacon of the Locked On Wolves podcast. He'll talk to us about our third one. So first, Matt, let's talk about the Pistons first. You know, what kind of things did you notice from Detroit this season? Did they exceed expectations? What would be your overall synopsis if you had to talk about it?
Yeah, it was a bit of a house of cards coming into the season. Anytime you're banking on Blake Griffin as your best player and the health of him, obviously you've got a little bit of an issue there, and that was realized this year. Derrick Rose obviously probably exceeded expectations, certainly health-wise, but it's just there's just not a whole lot of talent with this team right now. We knew that they were certainly in the bottom half of the NBA, and they played out to being the fifth worst record heading into the lottery, looking at the odds coming up there. So yeah, certainly a disappointing season, but you know, for those of us looking for a silver lining, maybe this is the kind of season that this team needed to snap out of this, you know, Charlotte Hornets like middle of the pack type of team where you're not good enough to be good, you're not bad enough to get the Karl Anthony Towns type of first pick of in the draft. So maybe this is a signaling of a new era kind of heading downward, but maybe that's what this team needs as far as kicking a pants. Specifically, you know, this is a team that needs everything, of course. When you're this bad, there's not a single spot on the court that you absolutely cannot draft. That being said, pretty heavy on shooting guards that are young right now, looking at Luke Kennard, Bruce Brown, Svi Mykhailiuk as guys that can fill that two position, maybe swing to a three as well. So, but yeah, certainly a value, a wing is such a high value that if that guy was there, you'd want to take it. However, this draft doesn't seem to be presenting too many of those wings. So point guard heavy draft and a couple of intriguing bigs in Okongwu and James Wiseman pretty much plays into the Pistons' hands because a center and a point guard are positions that the Pistons need. I know that that's not maybe the most value in today's NBA, but for a new general manager, Troy Weaver, I think that the talent in this draft in particular kind of lines up with what the Pistons need. So that's a good thing.
Ben, the Timberwolves made a big trade in the middle of the season when they got rid of the Andrew Wiggins contract. In exchange, they get D'Angelo Russell. What did you think about everything that the Timberwolves did this year?
Yeah, so I think overall it was a disappointing season. They started 10-8. It was, you know, there was a sense that the new regime, Gerson Rosas, taking over about a year ago, year and 3 months ago as president of basketball operations, that there was going to be this you know, sea change in how they operate. And certainly offensively, things changed for the better. They shot a lot more threes. They got to the free throw line. The defense was still bad. And then after Towns got hurt in December, it happened about the same time. There was a big downturn. They had two double-digit losing streaks, which obviously isn't ideal, and they were quickly buried. And so they went ahead and pulled the trigger on the Russell trade that you mentioned. And Russell only played in 12 games in Timberwolves uniform, only one with Karl Anthony Towns. And so we don't really know what that's going to look like. I mean, Towns is arguably the best pick and roll big in the game, and Russell's one of the better pick and roll point guards in the game. So there's obviously a lot of offensive upside, but the team where the holes are is defense. Neither Towns or Russell are above average defenders. They're, you know, I would say Towns is average at best and Russell's pretty below average. So the Wolves, what they really need is 3-and-D wings. They need guys who can knock down threes. They need guys who can play defense really at the 2, 3, and 4 positions. So almost flip from what Matt said about the Pistons needs is the Wolves have their point guard, they have their center. And so this draft actually doesn't line up with what the Wolves really need as much as I'd like it to, and we'll get to my pick obviously later, but frankly, you know, trading back I think is probably what the Timberwolves are going to look at doing in real life if possible, just because there's so much of this point guard and center talent towards the top of the draft, and some of those 3-and-D guys, this draft is a little bit deeper, and those guys whose floor might be a little higher but their ceiling may be a little lower, and those are the types of guys that the Wolves are going to want to plug in next to Russell and Towns as they try and basically raise themselves from a, you know, just to a 7th or 8th seed and then eventually strike for a third star, likely via trade at some point down the road.
Well, I have to be the only host here that actually was happy with at what our team did this season, because the Hornets were going to be the team that had its best player in franchise history leave them. And we were supposed to be, the Hornets might have been the worst the worst team in the NBA this year. If everybody had a say in who it was going to be, the Hornets were certainly in contention to do so. And they go 23-42. They finish as the 9 seed, just on the outside looking into all of those teams, or they're the 9 seed now, but they were finishing on the outside looking in as far as all of the teams that were invited to Orlando. And that's, I don't think anybody would have expected them to kind of have that record and to finish as high as they did in the Eastern Conference. Devontae Graham was one of the best stories of the year. The second round pick that Mitch Kupchak traded up for did an excellent job this season and probably should have been, in my opinion, a finalist in the Most Improved Player of the Year award, but was not mentioned there. You got some recognition from some stars in the NBA. But even guys like PJ Washington, he's going to be in contention for the all first team, all rookie first team selection process that they have at the end of the year. And so honestly, with a 23-42 record that they had, I think the Hornets exceeded expectations, where James Borrego, I think, showed you some good things as a head coach. And even with that being said, that they exceeded expectations, this is still a team that is void of a lot of talent. This is, Mitch Kupchak has no problem telling you that. In the exit interviews, general manager Mitch Kupchak said it's not going to affect their draft process whatsoever, where they might feel okay at one particular position. Point guard, wing, big, doesn't matter. Everybody's on the board. They have a ton of needs. If you had to pin it down to one, I think it'd probably be rim protection. That's something they've talked about quite a bit. Playmaking on the wing, where Malik Monk did a good job as developing a part of that, and Devontae was an excellent passer this season. But still, playmaking on the wing, I think, would be something that would really help this team, and rim protection would really help this team. But it doesn't matter. Just get the most talented player on your board, which I imagine is the case for most teams. But especially with the Hornets, you might feel good about them, but it's also not, I don't know if there's a guy on the roster that you feel can be that all-star, that multiple-time all-star. And of course, that's what every NBA franchise is in need of.
Got to interrupt real quick and tell you about another partner of the Locked On Podcast Network, and they're just hitting home runs with things right in my wheelhouse. If you haven't been using this product and this service for the past several months, then me and you are not the same person, that is for sure. And that is DoorDash. DoorDash is the app that brings you food you're craving right now, right to your door. Ordering is easy. Open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be left safely outside your door with the new contactless delivery drop-off setting. With over 300,000 partners, they got something for you. In the U.S., Puerto Rico, Canada, and Australia, you can support the local go-tos or choose from your favorite national restaurants like Chipotle, Wendy's, and the Cheesecake Factory. Many of your local favorite restaurants are still open for delivery. Just open the DoorDash app, select your favorite local restaurant, and your food will be left at your door. DoorDash deliveries are now contactless to keep the communities we operate in safe. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off and zero delivery fees on their next order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter code LOCKEDONNBA. That's $5 off your delivery fees for your next order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter code LOCKEDONNBA. Don't forget, that's code LOCKEDONNBA for $5 off your first order with DoorDash.
Yes, sir!
So much to my surprise, I had the number one overall selection when Doug sent us out the email as to we were going to be doing this again, right? We did this in June, we did this in July, and now we're doing it in August. And the Hornets had the 8th overall selection in the previous two mock drafts that we did as a part of the Delete 8 teams. The first selection we had was Devin Vassell. The second 8th overall selection that we had, we actually went with James Wiseman. So now we had everybody we wanted to choose from at our disposal. We could pick anybody we wanted. And the number one player that we picked in this mock draft, it was LaMelo Ball. He hopefully can be the point guard of the future for the Charlotte Hornets. I think the reason we went with him is, you know, this is a draft that is considered very, not only weak, but very weak by most. And I think when you look at LaMelo, the guy immediately has one elite trait in his vision and his passing coming into the league. And as I talked about, and some of the needs that the Hornets have, they certainly need playmaking. I think they also need size in the backcourt. The backcourt players that they have with the Charlotte Hornets right now, it consists of Devontae Graham, who you're hoping can be a pillar of the organization. They have Terry Rozier, who, you know, is a little on the shorter side as well, and you can possibly move on from him, especially if that big contract is wanted by somebody else on the off chance that might happen. You know, certainly he's not a pillar of the organization, nothing that you really want to hold on to as, you know, as we try to rebuild here in Charlotte. But Malik Monk could be that guy as well, and he's on the smaller side. So LaMelo Ball has elite size. He's also somebody that is the best passer in this draft, can be among the best passers immediately upon stepping on an NBA court. And I think those two things are just too attractive to pass up in a draft that has so much weaknesses all across the board. You know, he's got such quick feet. He's so quick. He's so crafty getting to the hoop. And also, he's just got that physical size where I think he can put some weight on him. It doesn't look like a frame that necessarily he's going to be skinny for the rest of his life. The NBA does a great job of putting weight on people anyway. But I think LaMelo does have that kind of frame where maybe he can grow into his body, create some contact. I don't think he's weak or soft by any stretch, even right now. Give me LaMelo Ball as the number one overall prospect with some of those elite traits that he has, even if the shooting form scares the hell out of me. I'm really scared about the shooting form. Even if I think he's shooting something under like 20, I think it's 19% is what he's shooting from three. There are certain red flags, but I think there are big red flags with everybody. So LaMelo Ball was the number one overall selection. Doug, I'll throw it to you first. When me and Nada made that selection, how did you feel about seeing Ball in a Hornets uniform?
I think it's the natural fit for the Hornets. They need a player that has the potential to drag them out of mediocrity. But I think if you're somebody that views the Hornets as a team that has some burgeoning young talent already and has the potential to elevate themselves to playoff level basketball, if you think they're close now, then LaMelo Ball might not necessarily help them in the ways they need to be helped, because they need to be helped defensively right now. I mean, they were good at producing offense. They were a sieve on defense. And so I could see an argument against LaMelo in that respect. I'm not sure that there's a perfect fit for them at the wing position in this draft and in the top three necessarily, that would make sense. But I think if you're someone that says, hey, I'm tired of Charlotte, you know, if they, even when they get to the playoffs, not being a threat, then you have to like taking LaMelo Ball, because he does present you that opportunity to have a star player in the future.
As far as guys I considered, you know, Anthony Edwards was in the conversation. My co-host, Nada, he's a big fan of Anthony Edwards as well. And I'm surprised he actually relented as much as he did to saying, yeah, that's fine, let's go ahead and go with LaMelo Ball, number one overall. You know, I've got the guys that I really like. I really like Devin Vassell and would have selected him if I was, you know, too much further down in the NBA draft process. You know, that's somebody I really like. Killian Hayes is someone that I also, you know, try to make cases for, but really there really isn't anybody else that I really considered more than Anthony Edwards in exchange or in place of one LaMelo Ball. Real quickly, guys, Matt, before we get to you, what are your thoughts on a LaMelo Ball in the NBA, just him overall as a prospect? Matt, let's go ahead with you first.
Me individually, like, I'm not huge on LaMelo Ball, especially as I'm looking at the Detroit Pistons and the culture and trying to build some things. But yes, I mean, the passing is obvious. The ball handling is obvious. Some, a couple of transcendent skills there. I put Ball and Edwards and James Wiseman into a category as guys that actually have all-star type of ceilings. Will they get there? I'm kind of dubious really on all three of them. Mm-hmm. But yes, there certainly is that chance where I look dumb 2 years from now after saying LaMelo Ball, you know, shouldn't be the first pick of the draft if the Pistons do it. So I get it totally. And there's a lot of Pistons fans that would be disappointed if Charlotte takes him out number one off the board.
Ben, how high are you on LaMelo Ball?
I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head right off the bat, Walker, with talking about his one elite skill. I mean, there aren't that many guys in this draft that have one thing that they do at an elite level, and Ball is the one you immediately point to and say he has elite court vision. He can pass with either hand from any angle. He you know, can see things before they happen, kind of sort of some of the things that maybe we've heard about you know, Ricky Rubio as a Timberwolves fan, you know, 10 plus years ago, that sort of a you know, sixth sense. And so I think in that sense, you know, if you can add a playmaker with that ability to your roster, you know, looking at Charlotte's roster, as you said, Anthony Edwards was the only other name that really made a lot of sense at number one for me, for you guys. And so if I was in your spot, that's what I would go with as well. You know, he, as Matt said about the Pistons, I don't know that Ball's a great fit for the Timberwolves if the Wolves are at number one, but I like his fit with the Hornets.
Yeah, it, you know, just somebody with some size that can help. And even if he doesn't reach his potential, being the number one overall pick, I do think he's going to make other players on the roster better. I think that guy, more than most, considered at number one overall, he's going to help the rest of the roster get better as well. All right, Matt, Detroit Pistons on the clock, number two overall pick. Why don't you tell everyone who you selected and why you selected?
Yeah, we're going to throw a wrench into this whole thing and screw up the whole exercise here because we're going to take a little bit of a wild card here at number two. First of all, you know, we're happy to be moving up to number two. First time we're ever moving up in the lottery, so Pistons Nation's pretty happy about that. Of course, the first thing you want to do is make some calls on some trades. Maybe I was a little bit derelict in doing too much, but we did have conversations with the Chicago Bulls. This is a team that's been stuck in the pretty good young players but not really going anywhere spot with LaVine and Markkanen and Wendell Carter as well. They were actually talking about Blake Griffin, and that's an interesting one, obviously, because a tough contract with a couple more years and a lot of money. But when I'm looking at guys like Markkanen and Wendell Carter, obviously very good players, but you know, especially Markkanen being extension eligible this summer, where are you going, right? Do you want to be that team that gives them $75, $80 million another year later, kick the can down the road? Same kind of conversation about Wendell Carter. Obviously, that makes the Pistons better and makes them better a year or two even down the road. But if you're thinking about building a championship team, do you really want to take guys that, not that they haven't worked out in Chicago, but certainly aren't fulfilling their promise? So to me, Blake Griffin in the locker room, unless you're getting a lot of nice assets for it, we couldn't really make a deal that made a lot of sense with the Pistons. And really right now you'd be selling low on Blake Griffin, given that he had the injuries last year. So to me, you bite the bullet, you keep him around for at least a half a season, see how things go, and maybe he could be someone who could actually get you some value at the trade deadline or next year, as opposed to cashing in assets to get rid of him. So that's kind of the long story there. So we decided to make the pick instead. Obviously, like I mentioned, Anthony Edwards, James Wiseman are guys that could make all-star teams down the road. And of the two, the Pistons thought about James Wiseman more than Anthony Edwards. Again, same kind of complaints with Anthony Edwards that I had about LaMelo Ball. I'm looking at Troy Weaver coming in here, trying to set his culture, trying to return Pistons basketball to what it was, seeing too many defensive lapses from Anthony Edwards, seeing too many bad shots from Anthony Edwards as well. Again, recognize the talent, recognize that 2 years from now, we could look foolish with some of these opinions. But and plus, you know, again, nobody on the Pistons roster is worth not taking a certain player because of fit. But I do look at Luke Kennard, Bruce Brown, and Svi Mykhailiuk as guys, you've already got a logjam at that position of young players that need minutes, that need to improve and maybe showcase themselves for future trades as well, or see what you have, evaluate whether you want to give them a decent extension for their first non-rookie deal. So it's not a great situation at two. Again, if we believed in Edwards a lot, we would take him. And Wiseman, there's a lot of questions. And again, this is probably the guy that was number three on my list at this point right now. I could see the Pistons doing that. Pistons fans won't be happy because you just get out of the Andre Drummond situation, building around a highly drafted center. So yeah, there's going to be some Pistons fans that wouldn't be too happy about that one. Number two on my list was actually the guy that I took in the last two exercises, number five and number six, without moving up, and that's Onyeka Okongwu of USC. And if I was being completely honest, maybe I would have taken Okongwu, but wanted to switch things up a little bit here. An outstanding athlete, a guy who's going to work hard on defense, a guy who's going to be emerging a little bit on offense, get the nice free throw touch so we can show a little bit in the shooting department maybe down the road, and certainly a guy who can finish with both hands and do some things around the basket, rebound well on both ends of the court. Love the way he competes. But speaking of guys who you love the way he competes, we're going to go with the pick, again, throwing a wrench into the situation here, and that's Tyrese Haliburton of Iowa State, who I know, didn't go, and I think the whole first exercise that we did here of the top eight teams, and I think was somewhere in the 5-6 range the second time around. So Tyrese Haliburton out of Iowa State, a guy who, am I sure he's going to be a point guard in the league? No, I'm not sure. But I do know that he's a guy who competes. He's a guy who, it's an unorthodox looking shot, but it's gone down with consistency at the college level. we're building culture, we're playing defense, we're passing the ball around, and as far as you know, good enough size to where obviously he's got to build muscle like every single teenager going to the NBA, him to obviously a larger extent, a really skinny guy, but he's got the good size, the good frame where you can fall back on the fact that maybe he can be a wing in this league if it doesn't work out in terms of a pure point. The other thing about the Pistons is you already have Luke Kennard and Bruce Brown, guys that are, you know, wings that can handle the ball as well. So maybe between a little point guard by committee kind of thing, which I'm surprised that more teams maybe haven't gone with in the NBA as well. Killian Hayes was a guy that the athleticism scares me a little bit. And like I said, I don't see a future as an off-ball type of player for him if it doesn't work out athletically for him as a point guard. And yeah, Devin Vassell, another guy you like here in Pistons land. Isaac Okoro, another guy you like for tools, but just didn't seem to fit at number two. And I know there's a lot of people who would say Halliburton doesn't rise up to the level of worthy of the number two pick, but I think it's more important for the Pistons to not miss on this one as opposed to swinging for the fences and maybe swinging and missing with an Anthony Edwards of James Wiseman type, and instead keeping that culture going. Halliburton's not going to take you to the playoffs next year. You're going to be a lottery top five team again next year, and maybe you get a little lucky again, get a Cade Cunningham or a Jalen Green, and now you're building something going forward.
Well, so it was a pick I didn't expect to see, but this is the kind of draft where you might see like that, something like that happening, because it's not like we are so emphatic on anybody absolutely being the number one overall, number two overall selection, to where a guy like Tyrese Halliburton or whoever you might name could sneak up into that top tier category where you are talking about what most people had maybe going 10 in mock drafts. Could sneak up into the top five, maybe even top three. Ben, before we get to your pick in the third segment, what did you think about Tyrese Halliburton going number two to the Pistons?
Yeah, I mean, obviously a shocker. It's actually a little bit in your description of the way that this draft is probably, we don't know how it's going to fall in the top 10. It almost feels like Anthony Bennett going first overall. And I don't wish, Matt, I don't wish an Anthony Bennett level bust on your selection, of course. As a team that had Anthony Bennett for a full season, I feel like it's important for me to say that, but we really don't know what's going to happen. And this is a perfect example of that. It makes a ton of sense. If Okongwu went second, I mean, that feels like a reach, but I mean, that wouldn't shock either if that happened. And so, I guess I don't love Halliburton as a prospect. In fact, we'll get to my pick here in a second, but I think my analysis on Killian Hayes versus Tyrese Halliburton is a little bit different. And I feel like Halliburton's ceiling maybe isn't quite as high as I'd like it to be at number two. But then again, in this draft, you can make a case for almost anybody at number two. So I think you did a good job of making that case for the Pistons.
All right. Ben doesn't like it. Matt does. He's got a different analysis of maybe somebody else that Matt Shook just mentioned when he was considering who they might select with the second overall pick for the Detroit Pistons. We will come back with Ben Beacon's pick for the Wolves coming up next on the Locked On Podcast Network's third edition of the Elite Eight Mock Draft.
Hey, first of all, guys, stop making fun of my pick. But next, the best news of the week, Built Bar is back. The improved Built Bar is even delicious-er. If you can believe it, 18 amazing flavors, including nut and non-nut flavors, 6 new ones, caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp, plus those 12 original flavors that you loved, covered in 100% pure chocolate, soft and easy to chew as well. Built Bars are healthy. Let me give you the flavor profile for the coconut almond, one of my favorites. 18 grams of protein, 180 calories, 5 grams of sugar, and 5 grams of net carbs. Those are the macros you're looking for. Built Bar is great for the health conscious guy. You can lose or maintain the weight while indulging in a delicious treat. Low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. Great for keto as well, which I've been known to dabble with in the past. Built Bar has reset the promo code for this relaunch, and there's a free cooler with purchase while supplies last as well. Perfect for the Belle Isle Beach or wherever you're going the rest of this summer. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get $10 off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at BuiltBar.com.
All right, Ben, we just got done with Matt's pick. I picked LaMelo Ball number one. Matt picks Tyrese Halliburton number two. Ben, who was your third overall selection when you were selecting for Minnesota?
Yeah, so the first couple times we had the fourth pick once, and we also had the third pick another time. The first time when we had the third pick, we took Obi Toppin. Second time around with the fourth pick, we also took Obi Toppin. This time around, I wanted to do something a little different. And also, my personal big board has shifted a little. So I went ahead and took Killian Hayes at number three, who I think there are some direct comparisons to Halliburton, who went at number two to Detroit, as Matt alluded to. First, I'll talk about the fit, I think, with the Wolves, and then I'll get into some of the trade talks. I think Hayes is basically, and this is weird, but he's almost a carbon copy of D'Angelo Russell. And I know that sounds weird that I want him on the Wolves, but I think part of the reasoning that I had behind taking Obi Toppin was doubling down on things that the Timberwolves were already good at. And I think that Killian Hayes does that in the backcourt. There's obviously defensive concerns. But he's a versatile offensive player. He's not a dynamic athlete. He's almost the exact same size with the exact same wingspan as D'Angelo Russell. All the comps I've seen, crazy enough, have been D'Angelo Russell. But if you just watch his tape from playing overseas this past year, and it looks like D'Angelo Russell at Ohio State. It looks exactly like him. Both him and Russell, the jump shot has developed. He's not a knockdown shooter, but he's getting better. He got better progressively throughout the season. So I think you pair a couple of above average, higher volume shooters in the backcourt who both have creative playmaking ability to score in the open court. They both have solid size and wingspans. They're both basically 6'5 with a 6'8, 6'9 wingspan. And if you can get them to try defensively, which I understand is a lot to ask, especially at this point for Russell, there's been recent, poor track record with his effort on defense. But if you can get those guys to try with their size, you've got Jarrett Culver, Josh Okogie, who are solid to above average defenders on the wing. And if Towns tries defensively as well, you've got a bunch of guys who are above average in size. They can all shoot threes. The offensive possibilities are through the roof. And defensively, you should be able to get away with a decent defensive unit as long as you have a couple guys on the wing. If Jake Lehman shows up defensively, you acquire a guy maybe who can be a 3-and-D type player to plug in on the wing. So I really love his fit offensively, and I think that the floor for Killian Hayes is higher than even a guy like Obi Toppin. I think Toppin will be good, but defensively, I think Hayes' floor is higher. And then quickly on the trade talks that I had, I also talked to the Bulls, so evidently they were pretty active in trying to move up. They had floated Zach LaVine, who, I think Timberwolves fans would be interested in a reunion. In hindsight, I wish that Wiggins had been the guy traded to Chicago instead of LaVine in the Jimmy Butler deal a few years ago. But the salaries would be real tough to get LaVine back to Minnesota, so that didn't really go anywhere. The other team was the Knicks trying to move up. They had actually offered, and hopefully they're not upset that I'm just going to go ahead and put their offer out there, but they offered the number seven and their second round pick that they got from somebody else, maybe Charlotte actually, number 38. And that was close to enough, but I don't think the Wolves want yet another draft pick this year. We don't need four rookies coming onto the team. And the seven, to move up four spots, getting number 38 pick isn't quite enough to make up that difference. We don't have the cap space to take on any salaries for any players. So I just ended up standing pat and taking the best player that I thought was available. I really think in real life, if this happens, the Timberwolves probably trade back with somebody that wants Anthony Edwards. He's the obvious player here who I didn't take that many would say is the best player available. I think probably ceiling wise, that's true. I've talked about this in the previous mock drafts. The comparisons to Andrew Wiggins to me are too stark for me to ignore. And I think I speak for all Timberwolves fans when I say that that would be scary. So I do think the Wolves would try and trade back because there's going to be somebody that falls in love with Edwards at number three. And if he is on the board at number three, which would be a surprise, somebody's going to pony up to trade up and take him.
All right, so let's just go ahead down the list with the other selections made in this mock draft. Number four, Atlanta actually took Anthony Edwards. It was the longest that he has, the furthest, I should say, that Anthony Edwards actually fell in the first, then compared to the first two previous mock drafts. Then it was Devin Vassell, selected by Golden State at number five. Isaac Okoro, selected by Cleveland at number six. Onyeka Okongwu, selected by the Knicks at seven. And then it was James Wiseman, selected by those Bulls that had been trying to trade with a couple of people on this podcast. James Wiseman would round out the delete eight teams. Doug, you were listening to all of the selections, me going LaMelo, Matt going Tyrese Halliburton, and then Ben going with Killian Hayes. What did you think of the three picks with the three fits? We got your analysis on LaMelo. What did you think of the other two?
Well, I'm glad you finally came to me as someone that was very high on Bol Bol in the draft. And I think that's finally people are starting to understand my genius when it comes to the draft bachelor roses that I give out every year. I'm not high on Tyrese Halliburton, so I don't love the pick at two, although Matt Shook's reasoning started to chip away at me a little bit. I don't love him though, so he is definitely not getting my draft rose. So I'm not high on him. I don't know about Anthony Edwards either. I mean, I don't know. It doesn't seem like the narrative around him is positive in a lot of ways, and so that may be reflecting itself in this draft. Although I still see him mocked in the top three, but I think one interesting thing is that because you had this situation where two and three went a different way. If you look deeper into this mock draft, it was Onyeka Okongwu who fell, and then Wiseman falls all the way to eight. And I think it really shows that this draft is very fragile, and that if you see one of the bigs like Okongwu or Toppin or Wiseman jump, then that means really that one of those guards are going to fall. It almost is like a one-to-one relationship right now with guards and bigs in this draft, because they are so, a lot of these players are just diametrically opposed in terms of what their skill sets offer a team. There aren't a lot of two-way options in this draft. It's either you need offense or you need defense. So it was really interesting who dropped because of these two picks that went a different way.
All those picks, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, all quality players, all players that the Pistons were thinking about at number two, and Killian Hayes will throw into that category as well, which I kind of think that's maybe the theme of where we're at right now is this. I mean, LaMelo Ball being number one, and maybe you're very high on him, but maybe one of the least important lotteries of all time for these teams, because you're probably going to get a good player in the top eight. And if you pick James Wiseman at eight, guess what? You got to pay him less than LaMelo Ball and Tyrese Halliburton or whoever goes one and two. So, pretty good consolation prize for teams that and end up not winning the lottery. And I know we all want to win the lottery, get that value, and maybe get the player you want the most. But like I said, if Tyrese Halliburton's available and the Pistons drop to number eight or number nine, that's fine too. So, I mean, maybe you want to lose the lottery.
Well, and that's precisely why, Matt, that I do think that one of these three teams will slide up into the top three, and in the case of the Wolves, they may jump into the top two or number one.
The one time you don't want to win the lottery.
Exactly. Yeah, the one time. The unluckiest three teams, they're going to find a way to get lucky exactly when you don't want to get lucky.
Yeah, that would be the perfect ending to the Misfit Elite Eight mock draft here as far as the teams that we're selecting in the top three. Make sure you follow us all on Twitter, by the way. You can follow Locked On Pistons and Locked On Wolves, both, as I just said them on Twitter, at Locked On Pistons and at Locked On Wolves. Also, follow the host. You can follow Matt on Twitter, at Matt_Shook_. That's S-C-H-O-C-H. And then you can follow Ben on Twitter, at B-Beacon, B-E-E-C-K-E-N. I'm on Twitter, at Walker Mail. Doug's on Twitter, at Doug Branson, L-O-H. Thanks again for joining us on another mock draft here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Have a good day.